Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
I'm going to start by describing putting the dogs out for a pee. That's how I'm going to start this podcast.
Okay.
I was in the art room, which is also now my workspace, and I went to let Parker and Winston out to have a pee early in the morning. I was going to say around 7:30. And just as I opened the door to let them out, I hear Elvis Presley singing. Hmm. And I know Elvis's voice. This was your Aunt Faye's favorite singer. I totally know him. So I can hear him singing. And I don't mean on a radio. I don't mean on any of the devices. I just mean with the intuitive gifts, I can hear Elvis singing. And I have got to say that that was really lovely. And then I turned just as I was like putting them, like hooking them up to let them out because they go on a chain or like on a leash because we don't have a fenced yard. Out of the corner of my eye in the room, I can see in spirit three women sitting at a table together with this Elvis music playing. And I can smell cigarette smoke. Then as I'm putting Winston out, it changes and I can smell marijuana. I turn around and I can see that they're drinking. And I remembered wondering what the heck are they drinking in case I need to know. Then I could smell coffee. And I looked back at the table. And that time when I looked at the table, it came like more into my view was a board game. And I thought, okay, I think I need to remember this. So I put Parker out. He came back in. All of those things happened. And then I thought, I wonder what client this is going to be today. Now, I want to say something. That could very well work out where it is a client. And sometimes it just doesn't. And I think it's really important for people listening, whether you're a brand new person that's wanting to practice your intuition, one that's considering starting, one that you've been doing it beautifully your whole life. I just know that after 15 years of using these abilities to actually work and create a living from it, that there are plenty of times where it does not get placed. Mm-hmm. And that you can get things clear as can be and you never get the validation that it actually belongs to anybody. And so you just see it, hear it, smell it. You get all these messages and you really don't ever know what's going on. And I think it's good for me to say that because people are listening to the show and hearing, oh my gosh, I've been doing it for 15 years professionally and shit like that still happens. Yes, it does. And is it frustrating? I find it frustrating, but maybe some other people will say, no, I just enjoy it and I let it go. I don't worry about it. And I think it's just good to bring up so that people can understand that. Now, moving on into the day, it did get placed. So a woman had booked a session by Zoom, and let's call her Lydia. And I'm making that name up for anybody listening to the show for the first time because we never divulge people's names. There's always privacy with your sessions. So Lydia says to me at the beginning of the session, I really want medium. And I want to ask you if you have anything for me or if I'm supposed to give you like one at a time who I want. And I could hear Elvis singing. Mm-hmm. And I said, Lydia, before we start medium, because typically I always say to clients, you have to tell me who you want because it's easier to get a particular person and connect to them than just to go, I'll say fishing. But this time I could hear Elvis and I thought, I need to find out if it's for her. So I said to her, when I was putting the dogs out this morning and I started to tell her this and I said, this is how this goes because I think it's good that you hear this is how we live our lives. And I could hear Elvis. And I said, is there any significance to Elvis for you? And she goes, no, I don't see that at all. I don't get that. And I thought, oh, okay. And then I heard from the spirit world, no, continue, keep telling her this. And I thought, huh? Why would I keep telling her this if there's no connection to Elvis? And they said, no, no, there's a connection to Elvis. Just keep telling her about the three women at the table. The board game, the marijuana, the cigarettes, the coffee, like the whole thing. So I did, even though she said no, because the spirit guide said to. So I told her that, and she said, oh, she says, Karen, she says, I'm sorry. My aunt's nickname is Elvis.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, what? And she goes, her nickname's Elvis. Like, literally. And I said, okay. And I said, and what's with the board game? I said, because they're all sitting around the table dying laughing and having so much fun together. And I said, and I feel like it's got something to do with it, but I don't know, because now you're telling me this is her nickname. So am I off? No, she says, my aunt nicknamed Elvis. And she said, I want to speak to her more in a minute. She says, but she would always quiz us about Elvis. So she says, it took me a moment to realize it's not actually a board game. We didn't buy a game called Elvis. She said, my aunt was the game. Mm. She was the game. She said, it was so fun. She says, we all loved Elvis, but not like her. She was the fanatic. And she knew everything about his personal life, his professional life, like just absolutely everything about his movies, his music, like everything. And she says, and she would always quiz us all the time, no matter what we were doing. Could be Christmas Day. No, it didn't matter. There was always going to be an Elvis quiz. And the funniest part was that she would always come up with new information so that only she had the answers. Because she wanted to prove that she was the best Elvis fan of all. And we all teased her about that. And she says, I'm so sorry. She says, I don't know where my head was at when you asked me if there was any relevance to Elvis. And she goes, and the stupid thing is that she's one of the people I wanted you to channel. She says, what's happening to me? And I said, it's okay, Lydia. I think this is common. Where we get so nervous or we focus on one. I said, if you were focused just on one person first.
Or a different time in her life, right?
Yeah. And I said, because you are hoping for a whole group of women. I've got three here. And she said, yes. And she says, could you just go on first? And I, you know, you call more of the open part. And then I saw one of the women at the table, Kelly, and she had arthritis. You could see like her fingers, you know, when they're thicker and the joints and crooked. And so I said, well, I said, one of the women is saying that she says that she loves you and she's trying to get attention to give to you. And I just feel overwhelmed with love for you. Has this like these arthritic hands. Oh, Karen, she says, that's my mom. And I said, and this is why she's taking marijuana. And she goes, yes. She goes, we really convinced my mom, it took us some time. She says, but we really convinced her to try this because we thought it would be able to help her with some pain relief or even some of the anxiety that came because of the arthritis where she couldn't do certain things. She was feeling afraid of aging. She said there was a whole bunch of stuff where it was also anxiety. It wasn't just the pain. So she says, that's correct about the marijuana. And I said, oh, I said, hold on a second. Then Kelly, I turn around and I see these women again sitting in front of me, and two of the women, not the woman with the arthritis, so not her mom, the other two women are all in black, head to toe. And at first, when I looked at this and tried to see it come in like out of a blur, so to speak, I thought these women were in burkas. Is that the right word? Is that how you pronounce that?
Maybe.
Maybe. Where they're fully covered in black and their heads are covered and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I thought when I first saw them, that's what it was. Well, I was so glad that I wasn't able to kind of get it out of my mouth as fast as I wanted it to. It took me a pause and I realized, oh my God, that's not what they're wearing. They're nuns.
Oh.
And it was the first time in my life that I saw the correlation between what nuns wore and still do in some places and these garments or pieces of clothing where women have to wear to cover themselves. Mm-hmm. And the nuns, the two women that were at the table, kind of like they changed it. So at one point you'd see like a white collar, a white thing around, and you could see, okay, this is, these are nuns. This is what this looks like. Then it changed. And I want to point this out for a number of reasons. I worked in a monastery. I worked in a mother house. I was around nuns at different times in my life where I saw different types of garments. And at the monastery, they wore red. At the mother house, pardon me, the monastery, they wore red. At the nun's residence, at the school I went to, they wore black. And I remember going through that building where they actually, at the school, where they had some of their oldest original dresses on mannequins throughout the building, where you could see where they were fully covered except just a little tiny piece of their face, right through to where it changed like over the years, right? And so I thought, oh, these two women are showing me that they've gone through a transition. So they're old enough that they've lived long enough to do this. And then I saw, oh, but they also belong to different orders then, because different orders have different colors. Some blue, to my knowledge, I saw blue, black, and red. And so these women were showing this. And so I was able to say to her, hey, I see sisters. That's how I said it. And she went, uh-huh. What do you mean? And I said, what? I said, sisters, nuns. And she went, right. And she goes, wait a minute. What else did you mean? And I said, sisters. I said, these are three women around the table that are actually biological sisters. Two are nuns. So they're also sisters. Mm-hmm. And she went, oh my God, is this ever fun? She says, that's exactly right. This is my mom and her two sisters were nuns their whole lives. And she says, that was really cool. I'd like to know how in God's name you understood that.
Me too.
Yeah. And I said, well, part of the way that I understood it is that I saw it. I described it to you. I described the colors they wore. And she said, oh, that's right. You did. And she says, Karen, those are the correct colors. And I said, and I don't even know if other colors exist in different countries. And I said, but these are the ones they showed. And she goes, no, those are the ones I knew them to be. She says, that's good. But how did you also know biological? And I said, that I don't know. I said, that's what I would call inner knowing, as opposed to clairaudience, where you actually see what they're in. And she goes, okay, I'm just curious. She says, continue. So then one of the nuns stands up and says to me, I'm Elvis, which is so funny to hear a nun, a woman looking like a nun, saying, I'm Elvis. And I said, okay. She said, I had a really special relationship with this niece. She said, I took her on many of the trips to many of the countries that I went to. And she says, I mentored her. She says, in the beliefs that she has and how she sees life. And when we would be someplace and she had an attitude of a very white girl from North America that was very privileged, I would say, no, not here. This is how they live, and this is how we speak to them, and this is how we treat them. And we don't treat them this way because these aren't their circumstances back where we live in North America. It's not the same. And she says, I mentored her in, and not just in how to survive, but in how to treat human beings. And she says, I want you to pass that along. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah, I said, I'd love to. So I told Lydia that, and she said, oh my God, she says, that is extremely true about my aunt / sister Elvis. And she says, and I'm saying it that way because sometimes I called her Aunt Elvis and sometimes I called her Sister Elvis.
Cute.
Like this. And she says, but truth be known, Karen, all I had to do really was call her Elvis and nobody else was answering. It was her. And she says, wherever we went, once people heard her name, everybody knew who she was. So then the other sister says to me, can I speak to her, please? And I said, for sure. What do you want to share? Well, she says, I want to share some of the philosophies of this family, some of the beliefs. And I said, I would love that. So I said to Lydia, I need time. I said, I need to be able to listen to your other aunt. She wants to talk about beliefs and philosophies of your family. And this is her, these are her messages to you. And she says, Lydia says to me, how? As a psychic, as a medium, how are you ever going to be able to understand philosophies and beliefs? Don't you see things, hear things? Like, don't you smell? Like, how do you get that kind of information? And I said, well, like I said to you earlier, inner knowings. And I said, I also refer to it as downloading a file. And she goes, okay. She goes, you go ahead. And I'm fine. I can be silent and wait. I won't speak until you do. So I listened to, and what I would say, downloaded a file, for lack of a better way of describing it. Do you want to interject? Do you have a way to describe it better, Kelly?
Why does it matter? You're getting the information.
Oh, I don't know. I just thought, in case you did, for other people listening.
No, it's like, I just don't understand why that's even relevant. Like, if I said to you, hey, guess what I learned? And you're like, well, did you hear it or did you read it? Because based on whichever one you do, I might not believe it. Right. It's like, well, what the fuck does it matter? I took in information. Accurate information. Can I just share it with you?
I like your sassy attitude. But it's also just factual, and I'm glad that you're saying it.
Yeah.
So her other aunt says to me, okay, yes, we're nuns. But this is what we said, family first. And she said, in the way that what we believed was that family is not just your biological family, or if you want to call it that, the whole planet is your biological family, because we are all connected in some way. Somebody's married to somebody who's got a kid who's, she says, everybody is family. And she says, in the way that we also saw it in our family is that our animals are family, that nature is our family, that everything on this planet is godly, that everything on this planet, if you want to refer to a god as a being or a spiritual being or whatever you want to call it, she says, what we decided was we aren't going to fight over that. And this is what happened in our family. We decided to stop fighting over words. We decided to start using words that brought our family together through the intention of loving and caring for each other. We decided that if somebody was using words that were creating separation, no, we're not going to tolerate it. It was going to be a boundary within our family. And she said, so what we truly did was we decided through our spiritual lives as two nuns that really and honestly, it was all about family. So we did not go and try to find Catholics or Protestants or whatever. She said, we served everyone. And she served, we didn't care what their political, we didn't care what side of an army in a war they were on. A person is a person. And we were looking at every single person. She says, that's how we raised our niece. And she says, so I want you to talk about that, because she wants validations that it's us. But she says, it's also just the fabric of who we are and what we value. And what just permeates all of our thoughts and all of our actions and choices every single day. And I want to say to her that her mother was not religious. She did not stay in the religion. She became what humans refer to as spiritual. And we looked at that as a time in our lives, as three sisters, that two of us could walk away from her and shun her because she was leaving our church. Or we could look at it as an opportunity to see inclusiveness in everything and love every person. And that's what we chose. So there is no separation. There's no difference between religious and spiritual. That's our family.
Yeah, you intend to find the similarities between each other.
Yes. Yeah. So she says, I want her to know that that's this family philosophy, because it's the key thing that I could totally talk to her about, that would completely represent all three women on the other side and the life that that our niece daughter is living right now. I to validate all of us at the very same time, which I thought was pretty beautiful. So I told Lydia that, and she said, oh my word, Karen. She said, that is very, very true. And that's how I got wanting and loving all of the traveling with my other aunt, Elvis, to go around the world and do the things that we did. And she says, I did it in a slightly different way. I got a job where I could go and do it. And they did it with their order. But she said, when it could match up and I could go with them, I went. And she says, this is fabulous. She goes, does the group of women have anything to say to me as a group? So I asked them, and her mom came through and said she meditates every day, but my sisters would say she prays every day. But when we throw all the words in the same pile, doesn't matter which word you mean, we're all doing the same thing. We're all trying to connect to a higher power within ourselves, not externally. There's no higher power that exists outside of us. It exists within us. And that inner power exists in every single human being and every animal and everything on the planet. So when we are praying / meditating, we are trying to reach the inner power that exists in every other thing on this planet. And that's what religion or spiritual or meditation is. So it's all the same thing. We're all looking to connect to each other. And she says, so we want to validate that she's doing this and that she's trying now to reach the three of us since we've all died. So she's trying to figure out, okay, how would that be any different if they're alive or dead? It can't be much different because it's love. So I'm going to continue on. So we are here to validate, yeah, honey, you got that right. And we hear you talking and we're talking back. And we want you to affirm for her that all three of us hear her, all three of us see her, all three of us still seek to connect to her, and we are connecting back. So yes, you can tell her recently, because she changes the things that she asks us to validate that through. Recently, we've been using the blue jays. She says, but before that, no, she wasn't even doing animals or birds. She was just doing other things like, did they move this? She says she's doing her best just to figure things out, but she changes it frequently with purpose, changing it frequently, because you can't go all over the world and find a blue jay. So she's realized, oh, well, I guess when I'm here in this country, I'm asking for this. But if I'm hopping on a plane tomorrow morning and I'm going to a different country or continent, whatever, I can't be asking for the same thing. So I have to switch up what I'm using to validate. And then when I get there, she's trying to see if she still gets it. So like, are they following me where I go? And we are proving to her, yes, sweetheart, we are traveling with you. So I said this to her. I said, Lydia, you've got some traveling ladies still, and you're still traveling in your life. You're still working. And she goes, I am. She says, I retired, but I'm still traveling on my own now for these purposes. She says, so it's still kind of like the same kind of work. I'm not getting paid, but she says, I'm doing it. And I said, and these women, and I gave her the entire message. And she said, oh my God, Karen, she says, you're telling me that they're with me when I'm home, which is lovely. And she says, but you're telling me that they're with me in every home I go to, because we also referred to every other country and every other person's home as our home from home. Because if you didn't see other people's homes as your own home, you really weren't connecting to them. Mm. You were still doing it on a superficial level, like when you are a guest at somebody's house.
Yep.
And so you're asking for permission, but you don't really feel that they're family yet. You don't really feel like, how much are you actually caring about them if you're creating separation? And she goes, so yeah, truly, she says, I'm seeing that they're traveling with me. And she says, and right now, she says, you're just doing something incredibly beautiful for me to validate that they're traveling with me everywhere. And she says, which then just leads me to believe, what am I ever going to fear death for? There's no reason to. They're together on the other side. Clearly they found each other. They found your house. She says, clearly they're going to help me cross over and be with me on the other side. So she says, honestly, this has been absolutely beautiful. that they're just all showing up and telling me all these things. And she says, and something else, Karen, she says, I'm really interested in what you do and like these gifts. And she says, and this type of connection, she says, and it's just the next goal for me.
Cool.
And she says, but it doesn't feel like it's so far or like your gifts are so impossible to attain. She says, now I feel like because of this love with these women, that this should be the natural next step. And that it should happen with ease and the joy that I had or will have with them that I have had with them my whole life.
Yep.
And she says, so I want to thank you because I think one of the things I've gotten the most out of this is clearly understanding this can all happen with ease.
That's great. Holy shit. Is that the session?
That's the session.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
And I thought this session was absolutely beautiful for one of our December shows. So
for sure.
This actually happened like a long time ago, Kelly. And when I went back to the files to create the December shows, it was way at the bottom. It was one of the ones that must have been sitting there for at least 6 months.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you brought it back up because I think it's a show that provides hope for people to either reconnect or continue connecting with great intention.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.